Members and guests, please rise for the invocation by Representative Tuss and remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Almighty God, through your Holy Spirit, you created unity in the midst of diversity. We acknowledge that human diversity is an expression of your manifold love for your creation. We confess that in our brokenness as human beings, we turn diversity into a source of alienation and division. Empower us to recognize and celebrate differences as your great gift to the human family. Enable us to be the architects of understanding, of respect, and of love. Through the Lord, the source of all unity, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The clerk will take the roll.
Mr. Speaker, 98 members are present. Representatives C. Knutson and Seekins Crow are excused.
A quorum is present and the House is ready for business. Are there any introductions? Representative Phelan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I request to be off the record and out of the journal for the purpose of an introduction.
So ordered.
Up here in the gallery, I've got my oldest brother, Larry. He and his wife, Sally. They have, you can stand. They have, Larry and Sally have started 6 churches in North Dakota, Montana. He's now in Great Falls. I'd just like to welcome him and her.
Welcome to the House. Representative Keough.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to introduce a friend.
Would you like to be off the record and out of the journal?
I am so sorry. I forgot that. I request to be off the record and out of the journal for the purpose of an introduction.
So ordered.
Thank you. Body, a friend of mine is here today following me around a little bit, checking out what it might be like to serve in the legislature someday. Her name is Jen Erbach, and she's from Whitefish and teaches as a special ed teacher in Kalispell.
Welcome to the House. Representative Brewster.
Mr. Speaker, I request to be off the record and out of the journal for purpose of an introduction.
So ordered.
Mr. Speaker, members of the body, if you look back here in the upper level, this is my lovely wife, Vonda, of over 50 years.
Welcome to the House. Representative Fitzgerald.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to be off the record and out of the journal for the purposes of a reminder on announcement.
So ordered.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Today is the full day here for the viewing of the clay bust of the future bronze statue of Governor Judy March. Just in case you forgot, it's down on the second floor near the governor's office. And the artist Gareth Curtis is there to visit with you on the progress of the bronze statue of Governor Judy March. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Gillette.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to be off the record and out of the journal for the purposes of a thank you.
So ordered.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So today it's a little bittersweet. Today is the retirement of Ms. Sue O'Connell, who's in the back. Hiding. You can stand up, Miss Sue. And she has been here for, close to 20 years in different capacities. I think at one point she was over at the AG's office. And if you've had a bill that has to do with health and human services, or you've voted on a bill that has to do with health and human services, you have Sue to be thankful for. And she has mentored and nurtured many of us. I know for me personally, in times when I was very fretful about bills, she would not literally pet my head, but figuratively, and walk me through it and shepherd me through those challenging processes. And we're so grateful for your service. It's her last day. She's retiring today, and she's going off to Spain.
Thank you for your service. Representative Gist.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to request be off the record now of the journal for the purpose of an invitation.
So ordered.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And just one of our great IT people and I would like to invite everybody Monday for the gentleman in this body to wear a bolo tie. So if you would like, Monday would be that day, and I appreciate it. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Bertolio.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I request to be off the record and out of the journal for the purpose of an announcement.
So ordered.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Everybody dust off your running shoes tomorrow as part of Impact Montana. They're starting their 2023 Montana Warrior Series. There's a warrior run at Spring Meadow State Park. 8:30 is the 10K, 10 a.m. is the 5K, 11:15 is the 1 mile run. And the Warrior Series, the mission is to help service members, veterans, first responders, and their families define their purpose, connect with health and community solutions, and strive for what they value. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Walsh.
Mr. Speaker, I request to be on the record and in the journal for the purpose of a thank you.
So ordered.
I would like to thank our pages that have been with us this week. If you'd stand, Isaac Scogan, Jerem Holcomb, Jack Prigge, Andrew Bartoletti, Faith Berth, and who's not here today, had to leave early, Allie Dale. Thank you very much for your service.
Thank you, Pages. Order business number one, communications and petitions.
None, Mr. Speaker.
Order business number two, reports of standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, we're committed on appropriations. I recommend that Senate Bills 122, 246, 442, 522 be concurred in, 14, 294, 296, 506 be concurred in as amended. Signed, Representative Lou Jones, Chair. Mr. Speaker, we're committed on business and labor. I recommend that Senate Bill 543 be concurred in as amended. Signed, Representative Derek Harvey, Vice Chair. Mr. Speaker, we're committee on local government. Recommend that House Joint Resolutions 21, 22 do pass. Senate Bill 536 be concurred in as amended. Signed, Representative Larry Brewster, Chair. Mr. Speaker, we're committee on taxation. Recommend that House Joint Resolution 2 do pass. Senate Bill 507 be concurred in as amended. Signed, Representative Paul Fielder, Chair. That is all, Mr. Speaker.
Order business number three, reports to select committees.
Mr. Speaker, we, your conference committee, met and considered Senate amendments to House Bill 185 and recommend this conference committee be adopted. Signed for the House, Representative Ross Fitzgerald, Vice Chair, Representative John Fitzpatrick, Representative Derek Harvey. Mr. Speaker, we, your free conference committee, met and considered Senate amendments to House Bill 260 and recommend this free conference committee be adopted. Signed for the House, Representative Sue Vinton, Vice Chair, Representative Matt Regeer, Representative Kim Abbott. That is all, Mr. Speaker.
Order business number four, messages from the Senate.
Mr. Speaker, I'm directed by the Senate to inform the House of Representatives of the following actions. The Senate failed to concur in House amendments to Senate Bill 116, and by motion, the President was authorized to appoint a conference committee and request the House to appoint a like committee to confer on House amendments to Senate Bill 116. The Senate appointed the following members: Senator Lenz, Chair, Senator Beard, Senator Gross. The Senate failed to concur in House amendments to Senate Bill 149, and by motion, the President was authorized to appoint a conference committee and request the House appoint a like committee to confer on House amendments to Senate Bill 149. The President appointed the following members: Senator Lenz, Senator Manzella, Senator Olson. The Senate failed to concur in House amendments to Senate Bill 424, and by motion, the President was authorized to appoint a conference committee and request the House to appoint a like committee to confer on House amendments to Senate Bill 424. Senator Mandeville, Chair, Senator Fox, Senator Cuff, the President appointed those following members. The Senate failed to concur in the House amendments to Senate Bill 407, and by motion, the President was authorized to appoint a free conference committee and request the House to appoint a like committee. The President appointed the following members: Senator Zolnikoff, Chair, Senator Morgeau, Senator Treibas. The Senate failed to concur in House amendments to Senate Bill 19, and by motion, the President was authorized to appoint a conference committee and request the House appoint a like committee to confer on House amendments to Senate Bill 19. The President appointed the following members: Senator Regeer, Chair, Senator Pope, Senator Usher. Sincerely, Marilyn Miller, Secretary of the Senate. That is all, Mr. Speaker.
Orbis number 5, messages from the Governor.
Dear Speaker Regeer, on Thursday, April 20th, I signed the following bills: House Bill 310, Carlson; 311, Yakowich; 326, Seekins Crow; 336, Buttrey; 342, Logie; 347, Walsh; 353, Carlson; 356, Lear; 388, Casimir; 399, Mercer; 401, Fern; 417, Conower; 418, Fitzgerald; 425, Kirk Carpenter; 426, Yakowich; 497, Anderson; 505, Nickel; 510, Cordham; 518, Mercer; 525, Regeer; 536, Dueling; 555, Carlson; 560, Sheldon Galloway; 579, Sullivan; 584, Nicolacakos; 585, Weatherwax; 593, Marler; 639, Mercer; 663, Kearns; 665, Etchart; 710, C. Knutson; 767, Casimir; 777, Buttrey; 809, Logie. Sincerely, Greg Gianforte. Governor, dear Speaker Regeer, in accordance with the power vested in me as governor of the state of Montana, I hereby return with amendments House Bill 458. I hereby return with amendments House Bill 596. I hereby return with amendments House Bill 635. Sincerely, Greg Gianforte, Governor. That is all, Mr. Speaker.
Orbis number 6, first reading and commitment of bills.
Mr. Speaker, House Joint Resolution 31 through 38 have been read first time and referred to committee. All are posted. That is all, Mr. Speaker.
Orbis number 7, second reading of bills. Majority Leader Vinton.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the House resolve itself into a committee of the whole for consideration of business on second reading.
All those in favor say aye. All those opposed, no, and the ayes have it. And I appoint Representative Lear, Chair of the Committee of the Whole, for the day.
Members of the committee, please be in order. Members of the committee, have before you for your consideration House Bill 971. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, House Bill number 971, introduced by Casimir, a bill for an act entitled Act Generally Revising the Environmental Policy Act, clarifying and excluding the use of greenhouse gas evaluations, providing an appropriation, amending section, providing an effective date. Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Casimir?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 971, that I recommend the same do pass.
Representative Casimir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 971 sets the record straight. In 2011, the legislature passed Senate Bill 233 and stated that MEPA could not include the review of impacts beyond Montana's borders. That meant the analysis could not include global climate change. However, the courts have now decided that state agencies must analyze global impacts, but only inside Montana's borders. This is nonsense and scientifically unworkable. House Bill 971 makes it clear that until the federal government, by the act of Congress, mandates it that carbon is regulated pollutant, or unless and until Montana policymakers enact laws to regulate carbon, a procedure review does not include climate analysis. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Is there any discussion? Representative Marler. Seeing no further discussion, does the sponsor wish to close? Sponsor has closed. Representative, would you like to close? Oh, Representative Casimir.
Mr. Chair, let me see here. Mr. Chair, I move that House Bill 971 be amended and request that amendment. Where is that? 971.2.1b posted and deemed read.
So ordered. Representative Kazmaier.
This amendment is striking sections 1 through 5 and section 10. So this is kind of an agreement, so I would ask for it to pass.
Is there any discussion on the amendment? Representative Gunderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And this amendment's rather simple, but it's actually pretty complex at the same time. Really, all it's doing is it maintains MEPA in the process. And this is a great thing. I think it very greatly strengthens HB 971, excuse me. I would vote green. Thank you.
Seeing no further discussion, does the amendment sponsor wish to close? The amendment sponsor has closed. The question now arises on the amendment of Representative Kazmaier. All those in favor, vote aye. All those opposed, vote no. Are there any absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representative C. Knutson votes aye. Representative Seekins-Crowe votes aye.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 100 representatives have voted aye, 0 have voted no.
The amendment has passed. Is there any discussion on the bill as amended? Representative Marler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I apologize for punching in too early because those were good amendments, and I'm glad that they're now on the bill. I'm just rising real quick to remind the body that this was the bill that was heard in Natural Resources after we suspended the rules, and although it was scheduled with less than one business day's notice, there were over 50 people who made it in person to object to the bill. And over 150 people conservatively have contacted me in opposition to the bill. The amendments are good amendments, but I'm still going to be voting against this because I can't support this pattern of doing the people's business without due process and participation, and actually that's kind of the point of the law. I don't love this bill, but thank you for the amendments.
Representative Gunderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Sorry to get up again, but the bill is good the way it's written now with the amendment on it. And yes, it was brought at the last minute, but so was the decision that brought it to us. As you know, we're all getting pretty darn close to sine die, and we have to make decisions on bills and laws to help protect us, and I believe that's what 971 is. Again, join me in voting green for this. Thank you.
Speaker Aguirre.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think the only thing worse than bad news is not knowing and having a big question mark. And that's what this decision is for the state of Montana. We're not knowing our energy future, not just energy, but all of DEQ and the permits that come with that. This bill really cleans that up. Speaking to the process of this, we did not do anything outside the process. We used our rules to suspend the rules. We did everything within the process and the prerogative of this House. There was nothing done outside of that. So with that, it is a great bill, and it is within our prerogative to do that. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Seeing no further discussion, does the sponsor wish to close?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair, I do. House Bill 71 is critical to restore the balance of power in Montana. To protect Montana's legislative authority to enact the laws that uphold the Constitution as it was intended, and to again clarify that the Procedural Act may not be used as a regulatory tool.
The question now arises on the motion of Representative Kazmaier that when this committee does arise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 971, I recommend the same do pass. All those in favor of the motion vote aye. All those opposed vote no. Are there any absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representative C. Knutson votes aye. Representative Seekins-Crowe votes aye.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 71 representatives have voted aye. 29 have voted no.
House Bill 971 has passed second reading. Members of the committee have before you for your consideration Senate amendments to House Bill 317. What is your pleasure, Representative Windy Boy?
Do you want to read the title?
No title readed on Senate amendments.
Oh, okay. I was just checking to see if you knew. Mr. Chair.
If you'd like me to,
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate amendments to House Bill 317, I recommend same not be concurred in, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Windy Boy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a do not concur motion on this, and I realize and understand that the Senate tried the best they can to try to straighten this out, but there were some strikes that came about. One of the ones that I had some reservations on is strikes definition of best interest of Indian children. So I think for that, Mr. Chairman, I'll stand and rise and hope for that you vote for this. Do not concur, Mr. Chairman.
There being no further discussion, does the carrier wish to close or the sponsor wish to close? The sponsor has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Representative Windy Boy that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate amendments to House Bill 317 or recommend the same not be concurred in. All those in favor vote aye. All those opposed vote no. Are there any absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representative C. Knutson votes aye. Representative Seekins Crow votes no.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 69 representatives voted aye, 31 have voted no.
Senate amendments to House Bill 317 have not been concurred in. Members of the committee, have before you for your consideration Senate amendments to House Bill 338. What is your pleasure, Representative Windy Boy?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate amendments to House Bill 338 that I recommend the same be not concurred in, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Windy Boy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As you look at most of the bills that have passed this session, it's all been all about accountability, and this one has isn't any different. And what the main thing that the Senate has amended on this is they replaced the shall report to be encouraged to be report, and I think that just kind of waters us down and deletes the whole intent of the original bill. And the intent of the bill was that if one school district of 403 statewide receives $1 of Indian Ed for All monies, then you have to have a report or have and see how you spent that money. So, Mr. Chairman, it's about accountability. And if you don't file these reports, then you don't get a dollar. So ask for support.
Is there any discussion? Representative Beattie.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I rise in support of this particular motion. I think it's important because we fund Indian Education for All that since it's being funded, then production of a program or executing that program should be a requirement and not an option. I'd go further to say that I think that Indian Education for All is an important part of our curriculum here in the state of Montana because of the unique place that Indian culture has in the history of our state. Now, I've served in the education arena for quite a few years. I have found that some of the efforts to promote Indian Education for All have been questionable as far as I'm concerned. I think that receiving an understanding or having our children or ourselves understand the role of Indian culture and Indian history and the evolution of this state is important, and I think that can be done in a sophisticated manner, and I would hope that the Board of Public Education would promulgate standards that would lead to an effective Indian Education for All program. But to the extent that we have a constitutional obligation and we are funding this, it should be mandatory.
Seeing no further discussion, does the carrier wish to, or the sponsor wish to close?
Real quick, Mr. Chairman, there is a court case that does exactly this, and to me it only makes sense to not make the courts tell us what to do, but we should be doing what should be done. Thank you.
The question now arises on the motion of Representative Windy Boy that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate amendments to House Bill 338 or recommend the same not be concurred in. Those in favor of the motion vote aye. Those opposed vote no. Are there any absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representative C. Knutson votes aye. Representative Seekins Crow votes no.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 75 representatives have voted aye, 25 have voted no.
Senate amendments to House Bill 338 have not been concurred in. Members of the committee have before you for your consideration Senate amendments to House Bill 348. What is your pleasure, Representative Walsh?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this I move that Senate Bill, or House Bill 348, be... I'm in the wrong place. Sorry. Mr. Chair, I move that when the committee does rise and report after having under consideration Senate amendments to House Bill number 348, that it recommends the same be concurred in.
Representative Walsh.
Sorry about that. But one simple amendment, page 1, in its line 16 and 17, they just added in there department heads may exempt from the requirements of subsection 2, persons in a safety-sensitive positions. I think that's a great amendment, and ask for a green vote. Thank you.
Is there any discussion? Seeing no further discussion, does the sponsor wish to close? The sponsor has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Representative Walsh that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate amendments to House Bill 348, it recommend the same be concurred in. All those in favor of the motion vote aye. All those opposed vote no. Are there any absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representative C. Knutson votes aye. Representative Seekins-Crowe votes aye.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 99 representatives have voted aye, 0 have voted no.
Senate amendments to House Bill 348 have been concurred in on second reading. Members of the committee have before you for your consideration Senate amendments to House Bill 447. What is your pleasure, Representative Thane?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate amendments to House Bill 447, that it recommend the same be concurred in.
Representative Thane.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the body. We last saw House Bill 447 back on March 13th when we sent it to the Senate with 94 yes votes. The Senate amendment simply clarifies that the exemptions in the bill apply to not only residents of all 50 states, but also United States territories. The amended bill passed the Senate 43-5, and I consulted with the Department of Revenue, and they're comfortable with the amendments as presented, so I ask the body for a do concur. Mr. Chair.
Is there any discussion? Seeing no discussion, does the sponsor wish to close? Sponsor has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Representative Thane that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate amendments to House Bill 447, recommend the same be concurred in. All those in favor vote aye. All those opposed vote no. Are there any absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representative C. Knutson votes aye. Representative Seekins-Crowe votes aye.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 100 representatives have voted aye, 0 have voted no.
Senate amendments to House Bill 447 have been concurred in on second reading. Members of the committee have before you for your consideration House Resolution 7. The clerk read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, House Resolution Number 7, introduced by Perry, a resolution of the House of Representatives of the State of Montana recognizing the 100th anniversary of Colstrip, Montana. Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Perry?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Resolution 7, that it recommend the same do pass.
Representative Perry.
This is actually a great resolution. And I need you to remember that it is from Colstrip and we start partying early. So this is the start of our 100th anniversary. I invite every one of you to come down there between the 21st and the 25th of June this year. It'll be an outstanding party. Please vote green.
Is there any discussion? Seeing no discussion, does the sponsor wish to close? Sponsor has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Representative Perry that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Resolution Number 7, it recommend the same do pass. All those in favor of the motion vote aye. All those opposed vote no. Are there any absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representative C. Knutson votes aye. Representative Seekins-Crowe votes aye.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 99 representatives have voted aye. 1 has voted no.
House Resolution Number 7 has been passed on second reading. Members of the committee have before you for your consideration Senate Bill 334. The clerk read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, Senate Bill Number 334, introduced by ASP, a bill for an act entitled an act providing definitions to clarify implementation of the petroleum storage tank cleanup program, amending section, providing immediate effective date. Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Fitzgerald?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 334, that it recommend
The same be concurred in, Mr. Chair.
Representative Fitzgerald.
The good senator from Big Timber has worked hard and long on trying to clarify and smooth out the wrinkles in the process of the petroleum tank release program. And basically, most of this stuff is just a cleanup, improvement, and there's some language in there that basically addresses the speeding up and involvement of all parties within the board and the DEQ so that these cleanups can be caught up and smoothed out and accomplished. So there's some responsibility and some accountability stuck in here as well, so that they do, in fact, according to the report from the audit, performance audit report, that they have now have rules and regulations in here to get the board and the DEQ, and even to the extent that they can get a third party opinion, which will streamline the whole process, Mr. Chair.
Pro Tem Knutson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, I move that when Senate Bill 330, I move that Senate Bill 334 be amended and request that amendment number 334.002.002 be posted and deemed read.
So order, Pro Tem Knutson.
Folks, this is just a pretty simple amendment. If you'll turn to page 8 of the bill and look at line 8 and 9, it adds an exemption for reimbursement for a cost associated with an emergency response. Otherwise, these funds have to be retained at the point that the fund comes to a monthly balance of $1.5 million. We don't want to tie those funds up if there's an emergency response needed, so that's why this amendment was requested. And if you flip the page over, you will see it also adds a little bit of language regarding the board staff, making them meet with the board to discuss those responses. So, Mr. Chair, I vote for a do pass, please.
Is there any discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, does the amendment sponsor wish to close? Sorry, Representative Fitzgerald.
Mr. Chair, but this is a friendly amendment.
Is there any further discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, does the amendment sponsor wish to close? The amendment sponsor has closed. The question now arises on the amendment of Representative Knutson. Those in favor vote aye. Those opposed vote no. Are there any absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representative C. Knutson votes aye. Representative Seekins-Crow votes aye.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 98 representatives have voted aye. 2 have voted no.
The amendment has passed. Is there any discussion on the bill as amended? Seeing none, does the carrier wish to close? The carrier has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Representative Fitzgerald that when this committee does arise and report, after having had under consideration Senate Bill 334, recommend the same be concurred in. All those in favor vote aye. All those opposed vote no. Are there any absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representative C. Knutson votes aye. Representative Seekins-Crow votes aye.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 97 representatives have voted aye. 3 have voted no.
Senate Bill 334 has been concurred in on second reading. Members of the committee have before you for your consideration Senate Bill 530. The clerk read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, Senate Bill number 530, introduced by Hertz, a bill for an act entitled authorizing property taxation of certain Class 8 business equipment property, providing for an abatement of manufacturing machinery, fixtures, and equipment, providing for the review of the abatement request by a governing body of a county, providing the abatement may not be less than 80% of taxable value, providing definitions, amending section, providing applicability date. Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Welch?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 530, that recommend the same be concurred in.
Representative Welch.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the body, this abatement deals with manufacturing equipment. It's similar to the other abatements that we've talked about. The first 5 years, no taxes, then it phases in over the next 5 years. We've heard bills trying to help businesses in Montana expand and then also attract new businesses to our state. And I think this bill fits that number.
very well. There's a lot of businesses around the state that are in manufacturing. They provide very good jobs for our communities, so this incentive would help them very much. And also, this would, I believe, attract new businesses to Montana. Our business equipment tax on anything over $6 million is 3%. When a business is looking at relocating to Montana, and keep in mind that there are states around us that have no income tax, they could be providing several hundred jobs, and they are looking at different states. They also are looking at a state that is competitive in attracting them. So when you need to be competitive, this is going to help attract these businesses, and that's where we benefit. They come to our state, set up new businesses, keep our children here, provide good-paying jobs, which then turns around our communities. This is not a tax shift either. This is a tax going forward. This equipment, not in Montana yet, but when it comes here, we're going to give them a little bit of an abatement. And that will help to get them to resettle in Montana, or it will allow for existing businesses to expand here in Montana. It's a good bill. I request it do pass. Thank you.
Is there any discussion? Representative Fern.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I support this bill. We had a pretty clear vote. Clear sailing on this in the House tax. I think just a couple points that the good carrier didn't point out, but I think are important, is that there's language in here that allows the governing body to actually decide as to whether to implement this or not. And I think that what that does is it gives them an opportunity for a hearing. They can understand the value of the proposed business and make a decision whether that fits well within their community. That makes it unique amongst abatements now provided in the state. I think that's really important for local control, and I would ask for your support.
Representative Barker.
Mr. Chair, speak to the bill.
Representative.
Mr. Chair, members of the body, I won't repeat anything that's already been said. This is a great bill. We had a good hearing, and CapEx, or capital expense and manufacturing, is extremely intensive, and I just remind everyone you can't tax it if it's not here. 100% of zero is still zero, so this is a great way to attract manufacturing to our state. Vote green.
Seeing no further discussion, does the carrier wish to close?
I do, Mr. Chair. I think those that got up, they stole some of my closing, but I'm going to leave you with just one thought. Are we working to be business-friendly here in Montana, or is that just hollow talk? Vote green.
The question now arises on the motion of Representative Welch that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 530, I recommend the same be concurred in. All those in favor vote aye. All those opposed vote no. Are there any absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representative C. Knutson votes aye. Representative Seekins-Crowe votes aye.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 85 representatives voted aye, 15 have voted no.
Senate Bill 530 has passed second reading, or has been concurred in on second reading. Members of the committee, have before you for your consideration Senate Bill 540. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, Senate Bill number 540, introduced by Zolnikov, a bill for an act entitled, an act revising laws related to staff-funded tourism promotion through the Department of Commerce, requiring the Department of Commerce to use the lodging facility use tax revenue for special purposes, transferring funds from the Department of Commerce lodging facility use tax allocation to fund the revolving loan program account, providing a fee, providing rulemaking authority, and amending section. Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Marler?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that when this body does rise and report, after having had under consideration Senate Bill 540, that the same be concurred in.
Representative Marler.
Thank you. Friends, you may know that by current law, there is assessed in Montana by hotels, etc., any lodging facilities, a 4% bed tax. This bill does not change that. It doesn't increase the tax or send it off into something weird. The vast majority of that bed tax, more than half, is used to promote tourism in the state of Montana. And tourism is one of our biggest industries. Last year, the bed tax generated over $55 million. It's a lot of money. And I think it's safe to say that the word is out that Montana is a great place to vacation in. Senate Bill 540 simply allows for more flexibility in how that money can be spent. The Department of Commerce can spend those funds in, to continue to promote tourism via media purchasing, et cetera, the things we've seen, print ads, internet, et cetera. But it also sets up a lot of new programs that can be accessed to promote different kinds of tourism. So if passed, instead of just doing the tourism promos, the funds can be spread across the state. And what I especially like about this bill is that it has an emphasis on trying to get some of those resources to the less visited parts of the state. It tries to promote rural tourism and new kinds of tourism, like agricultural tourism. It can be used to invest in infrastructure, from Main Street beautification to campground improvements, privately owned campground improvements. The goal is to help reduce stress in the busy tourist areas. Like, hello, people have heard of a certain place based on a current TV show that's happening. Certain places and projects don't need that much more promotion. And again, we'd like to see it increase activities for entrepreneurs in less visited parts of the states. It can be used to enhance wayfinding, signage. I have a whole list of things which I will not read, but if people ask me, I can recite a litany. One of the best things I like about it is that it sets up a revolving loan program for folks who want to try to set up new and diversified tourism businesses in Montana. For example, say you're already a rancher and you want to diversify into having a dude ranch, or you want to diversify into agricultural tourism. This is a way that will allow that. I can't help but mention dinosaur tourism because I love that too. Okay. Anyway, in short, it keeps the ability for our tourism industry to keep promoting as they have been, but yet not spending that same amount of money all on the same thing. Helping people diversify their business is key. I'll be glad to entertain questions or discussion. Thank you.
Is there any discussion? Representative Gillette.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Speak to the bill.
Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is a fantastic bill, by the way. For another bill that I ran this session, I was doing some background research, and I just pulled up sort of my notes on this. And to tell you, I think the carrier said it was about $50 million last year, a little over. They're on track again for this year to have that much money. And it's really interesting. The statute for this is not very prescriptive. It's kind of just like this big bucket of money that Commerce gets. And except for maybe, maybe film or media, it's not really designated for anything. So they use it for a lot. And so here's some of just the things that they use it for. The Governor's Conference, Division Administration, Industry Services, Co-ops, not sure what that is, International Admin, Diplomacy, Web Administration, Bed Tax Research. I'm sure we've researched that enough, but here we are anyhow. But those are some of the things that they're that they spend it on, but there's really no statutes, except for should this become law, there would be statutes about how that would be directed and spent. And I think it's important to understand where this money comes from. This money comes from places like Gallatin County, which produced in 2021 $12.5 million. Flathead was 4.5, Silverbow was 2.3 million, and the list goes on. So this money comes from both short-term rental and from hotel taxes, and also comes from, I even was surprised to find Little Haver on here that's producing some of this money, including Billings at 3 million. Missoula at another $3 million, but a lot of money coming from our communities that are supporting this. And so with that, Mr. Chair, I move to amend Senate Bill 540 with Amendment SB 0540.003.001.
So ordered. Representative Gillette.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So what this amendment does is you'll see on line 22 and 23 of new Section 1, it simply adds in that
right where the revolving loan program is. It also allows for regional tourism assistance, so that would be like your tourism boards that are in your communities. And what this amendment does is it just adds in resort areas and resort communities. And it's important to understand that because this money comes from the areas that have a lot of tourism, it's important that we take good care of those communities. In my area, I have two resort areas, and in one of them, I sat through a meeting where they had this really vibrant discussion about how they really needed money to have a public bathroom. They didn't even have a public bathroom. So as they have massive tourists coming through, they're going into the Ace Hardware, they're going into the grocery store, but there's no public bathroom. So what this amendment would do is to provide some assistance to those communities so that they could address some of the needs that they have so that we can continue to enjoy the monies that come in from them. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Is there any discussion on the amendment? Representative Marler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I appreciate the kind words from the amendment sponsor about the bill as a whole, but I'm going to ask the body to resist the amendment. The point of this bill is that there are some places that are already visited a lot, and we're trying to share the wealth, try to get some of that revenue out to rural communities and places where they still need development and basic tourism products. And support entrepreneurs in those areas. The resort communities already have some other tools. They have the resort tax, and without going too far into it, and I think there's language in this bill where those communities could also apply for tourism support projects, but they'd have to compete with everyone across the state. So my understanding also is that it's not a friendly amendment, and I will ask you to vote green. Vote no. Thank you.
Representative Green.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the body, I'm going to ask that you resist this amendment. The one thing about this bill is it was negotiated between the Department of Commerce, private entities, and this amendment was not part of it. So with that, I'll ask you to vote no.
Representative Fern.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So as a representative of a resort community, I feel obliged to at least stand up for resort communities. And these communities and areas and districts really vary in size and wealth. So you may be thinking of some high-income resort areas, but not all are like that, and some face some particularly difficult challenges with housing, with things like a proper size wastewater plant, and that sort of thing. So I do want to stand up for the resort communities and say 0.5% more, I think, is something doable with this ever increasing budget, because we are collecting more in the 2-4 percenters. And I think it will just continue to go up with the popularity of Montana, the increasing of the hospitality industry, and quite frankly, the increases of prices, inflation, which is resulting in a lot more revenue coming in to the state and into the Department of Commerce. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Worth.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to speak to the amendment.
Representative.
All over Montana, it needs a little bit of help with all of the different things that go on with tourism. My business is a poster child for tourism, but we do not live in a resort community. So therefore, this would help. If taking this amendment away from this particular bill would then help other communities that are in need. Thank you very much.
Representative Malone.
Mr. Chair, speak to the amendment.
Representative.
Mr. Chair, members of the body, I do have a resort district in my district, but I think I would like to let the Commerce Department make some decisions. I think this amendment takes away the flexibility to the Commerce Department, and I would resist the amendment. Thank you.
Is there any further discussion on the amendment? Representative Tuss.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, members of the body, on behalf of Little Haver, I encourage you to reject the amendment. Thank you.
Representative Jay Hinkle.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Would the representative of seat number 16 yield to a question?
Does the amendment sponsor yield?
I do, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, representative, my understanding is that, yes, resort areas can collect a resort tax, but from my understanding, that tax is only to be used for infrastructure purposes, water, sewer, things of that nature, and not to be used for tourism. Do you happen to know the answer to that?
Mr. Chair, Representative, I do know the answer to that. So it actually can go up to, this is complicated, I'm sorry. There's a 3% resort tax. They can, by the will of the voters, they can actually move it up to 4%, but that 1% can only be spent on like water, sewer, infrastructure, things like that. They additionally have laws which require them to reduce property taxes. So they have to spend those resort dollars on for basically their local government to pay for their local government to draw down property taxes. So it's correct that they can't spend it on things. Well, they have some small wiggle room in there, but for the most part, they're restricted from spending that on like advertising or the impacts of tourism is what really this is about, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
Seeing no further discussion on the amendment, does the amendment sponsor wish to close?
No, thank you.
The question now arises on the motion of the question now arises on the amendment of Representative Gillette. Those in favor vote aye. Those opposed vote no. Has every member voted? Or sorry, are there any absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representative C. Knutson votes no. Representative Seekinscrow votes aye.
Has every member voted? Representative Dooling? Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 19 representatives have voted aye, 81 have voted no.
The amendment has failed. Is there any discussion on the bill? Seeing no further discussion, does the carrier wish to close?
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Real quick, I appreciate the discussion on this bill. It's been a bill with broad bipartisan support. Bed tax has been successful, but it's time to diversify and help light up some new entrepreneurial activity across the state. Thank you. Please vote yes.
The question now arises on the motion of Representative Marler that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 540, we recommend the same be concurred in. All those in favor vote aye. All those opposed vote no. Are there any absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representative C. Knutson votes aye. Representative Seekinscrow votes aye.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 85 representatives have voted aye, 15 have voted no.
Senate Bill 540 has been concurred in on second reading. Members of the committee, have before you for your consideration Senate Bill 544. The clerk read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, Senate Bill number 544, introduced by Curdy, a bill for an act entitled an act revising internet laws related to material harmful to minors, providing for liability for the publishing or distribution of material harmful to minors on the internet, providing for reasonable age verification, providing for individual rights of action, providing for attorney's fees, court costs, and punitive damages, providing for exemptions, requiring a report by the Department of Justice for enforcement activity, providing for a fee, providing definitions, and providing a late effective date. Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Carlson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 544, it recommend the same be concurred in.
Representative Carlson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This bill, I first want to just say how much I appreciate that the sponsor brought this bill. Those of you who were here last year might remember that I attempted to bring a bill protecting children from pornography on the internet. I had a couple titles this year, and I know there was another bill from a member of this body. This is a crisis that we are facing in this country and this state. It is a public health crisis for our children caused by relatively easy access to pornography everywhere. And this crisis is causing long-term emotional and physical harm to our young teens, and I'm happy to bring this bill. I just want to read I'll let you read the rest of the bill, but I just want to read this because I've been saying this for 20 years, and I've been having a hard time getting people to listen to me. But when my oldest son first was in the group of kids that were starting to get their phones, and I was the mom that said no, this is one of the reasons, because pornography contributes to the hypersexualization of teens and prepubescent children and may lead to low self-esteem, body image disorders, and an increase in problematic sexual activity at younger ages, and increased desire among adolescents to engage in risky sexual behavior. Pornography, we know scientifically, affects brain development and brain functioning, and this is a real problem that we need to address for our young people. This is a problem that most of us in this room had no need to even consider when we were growing up, and I wish that our children also did not. This bill, Senate Bill 554, requires a commercial entity website that knowingly and intentionally publishes or distributes material harmful to minors must be held liable if the commercial entity fails to perform reasonable verification methods to verify the age of individuals attempting to access the material. It holds the commercial entity or a third party liable if that party does not scrub identifying information that was collected in that verification. Any website which retains the identifying information is also liable. This bill does not apply to news organizations. That's just a technical part of that. Another part of this bill is DOJ will be required to make a report as to the annual enforcement actions under this part. The material that is defined as harmful to minors is outlined in the bill, and it adheres to the Supreme Court test of objectionable material. This bill passed the committee unanimously. It passed the Senate 47-3. I hope it passes this body 100-0. The effective date of this bill is January 24th. I urge it to pass.
Is there any discussion? Seeing no discussion, does the carrier wish to close? Carrier has closed. The chair recognizes Minority Leader Abbott.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The representative in seat 31 was punched in, and I'd like to cite Rule 2020 and go to the board on an objection.
Chair recognizes Speaker Aguirre.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm still going to expect the same standard for all representatives in this House. I'm still going to stand for the dignity and integrity of this House. Please uphold the ruling of the chair.
Members of the committee will go to the board to uphold the ruling of the speaker. All those in favor, vote aye. Are you guys ready? All those in favor, vote aye. All those opposed, vote no. Has every member voted? This is, if not, the clerk record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 63 representatives voted aye, 34 voted no.
The speaker's ruling has been upheld. Does the sponsor or does the carrier wish to close?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I actually do. I'm sorry that that vote was interrupted. This is a really important topic, and I would again ask this body to give it 100 green votes. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
The question now arises on the motion of Representative Carlson that when this committee does arise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 544, recommend the same be concurred in. All those in favor, vote aye. All those opposed, vote no. Are there any absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representative C. Knutson votes no. Representative Seekins Crow votes aye.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 88 representatives have voted aye, 12 have voted no.
Senate Bill 544 has been concurred in on second reading. Members of the committee, you have before you for your consideration Senate Bill 550. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, Senate Bill number 550, introduced by Hertz, a bill for an act entitled, an act generally revising income tax laws, revising references to the individual income tax rate table effective January 1st, 2024, extending the medical savings account tax deduction, clarifying the calculation of composite tax return tax liability, eliminating the establishment of first-time home buyer savings account after tax year 2023, providing that direct primary care fees and health care sharing ministry expenses are eligible medical expenses for medical savings accounts, amending section providing effective dates and applicability date and a retroactive applicability date. Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Thane?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 550, that it recommend the same be concurred in.
Representative Thane.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the body. Those of you that have been in the House since the 2021 session will likely remember Senate Bill 399, which the good Senate sponsor introduced as a tax simplification measure, which is a bit of an oxymoron because I don't know how a 101-page bill could be regarded as simplification, but I digress. As you might expect, after implementing Senate Bill 399, a few issues were discovered that necessitated some cleanup, and that's the impetus for Senate Bill 550. The bill identifies two of the more significant sections that needed to be addressed, and those include a section on the Montana medical savings accounts. They were to sunset after or in tax year 2024, as contemplated in Senate Bill 399. So Senate Bill 550 eliminates that sunset and further identifies additional expenses that can be paid, including a health care sharing ministry. A second provision in the bill identifies that the status of the principal deposited and interest earned on a first-time home buyer's savings account prior to January 1st, 2024 would be protected. The first-time home buyer's accounts were also sunsetted in Senate Bill 399. If you look at the fiscal note, it focuses almost exclusively on the Montana medical savings accounts. Currently, we experience about a $1.4 million annual tax impact as a result of these savings accounts. In fiscal year 24, you'll note that the fiscal division contemplates about a $316,000 impact as a result of the changes in Senate Bill 550. If you note in fiscal years 25, 26, and 27, it appears there's a significant bump. I want to assure you that's only because this was intended to sunset in tax year 2024. So what you see for those last 3 years in the fiscal note is the current $1.4 million tax impact with the additional $316,000 annual impact that's contemplated by this bill. With that, Mr. Chair, members of the body, I urge a do concur.
Is there any discussion? Representative Hamilton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to thank my colleague who saved me a whole lot of time by explaining very carefully the changes that were necessary in this bill. So I'm going to focus only on one part, and that is the Montana Medical Savings Account. As you may remember, back on February 17th, we sent the Senate a bill on the Montana Medical Savings Account, which came out of Tax Committee 21-0, came off our floor 97-2, came out of appropriations 20-0, and came off third reading 96-1. Unfortunately, that bill was tabled this morning, 2 months later, and in its place, we've gotten this less desirable version, and so at least this less desirable section of this bill. And so to fix that, Mr. Chair, I move that Senate Bill 550 be amended and request that amendment SB 550.002.001 be posted and deemed read.
So ordered. Representative Hamilton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So there are really two things that this amendment does. If you move to page 21 on the amendment, what it does is reestablishes the contribution limits and contribution increase formula that we sent over to them. So if you see page 21, line 1, $4,500 in tax year 23, that's already contemplated, that's already in place. And then on line 5, it shows that using the consumer price index, this contribution amount would be raised in increments of $500. So the bill contemplates or suggests that we have the contribution amount is $4,500 in 2024. Had the Montana Medical Savings Account deduction not been eliminated in Senate Bill 399, the formula would lead us to a deduction of $5,500 next year. And so that's a sizable step in reverse. And I would just like to give you a little bit of history on this. From 1997 to 2017, the deduction to the Montana Medical Savings Account was $3,000, didn't change for 20 years. In 2017, this body passed a bill. We raised the contribution limits to $3,500, then $4,000, trying to get it closer to what an IRA, 401k, Roth, and so forth, those kinds of plans would be equal to. In 2020 and 2021, there was no increase. It still remained at $4,000. 22 and 23, there was finally an increase due to the CPI formula. So if we allow this bill to do as contemplated, the contribution amount would remain the same in 22, 23, and 24, and that's what I'm trying to fix here. There's been significant inflation. We all know that, and this should move, as does the contribution amounts for IRAs, Roth IRAs, 401ks, profit-sharing plans, et cetera. The second part of the amendment, the $500 increment, if we had this contribution amount change in $100 increments, not really fair to the consumer, not very consumer-friendly, because it means the contribution amount's going to change probably on a yearly basis. Once again, very much unlike the IRA, the Roth IRA, and so forth. The $500 increments gives us the opportunity to slow that down a little bit and say, changing it every couple, 3 years, as happens with an IRA, would be the appropriate thing to do. So with that, I ask for a green light on this amendment. Thank you.
Is there any discussion on the amendment? Representative Thain.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll speak briefly to the amendment. You'll notice there's a lot of red strike-throughs, primarily on pages 19 and 20. I would just want to make sure that I assure you that the strike-through just simply takes out a temporary section, and it effectively accelerates the implementation of the section that begins about halfway down the page on page 20. As the amendment sponsor indicated, what we're looking at with this amendment really is an acceleration clause being put in there so that we can adjust the amount that's eligible in $500 increments. Although I have not spoken to the bill sponsor, I would encourage us to adopt this amendment. And if, in fact, there's any discrepancy, they can deal with it when it gets back over to the Senate. So I would encourage due pass on the amendment, Mr. Chair.
Representative Carlson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Not being a member of this committee, but I have heard from the sponsor as I asked about this, and the sponsor opposes this amendment.
Seeing no further discussion on the amendment, does the amendment sponsor wish to close?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Really what we're doing with this amendment is continuing on the path that would have existed had Senate Bill 399 not sort of accidentally, inadvertently ended the Montana Medical Savings Account. So I ask you to vote green.
The question now arises on the amendment of Representative Hamilton. Those in favor vote aye. Those opposed vote no. Are there any absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representative C. Knutson votes no. Representative Seekenscroll votes no.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 36 representatives have voted aye, 64 have voted no.
The amendment has failed. Is there any discussion? Seeing no further discussion, does the carrier wish to close?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just very briefly, again, the effort here is to make sure we preserve as an option for Montana taxpayers the Montana Medical Savings Account Program, and I would encourage you to concur.
The question now arises on the motion of Representative Thain that when this committee does arise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 550, recommend the same be concurred in. All those in favor vote aye. All those opposed vote no. Are there any absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representative C. Knutson votes aye. Representative Seekenscroll votes aye.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 96 representatives have voted aye. 4 have voted no.
Senate Bill 550 has been concurred in on second reading. Members of the committee have before you for your consideration Senate Bill 557. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, Senate Bill number 557, introduced by Noland, a bill for an act entitled An Act Revising the Environmental Policy Act relating to legal challenges requiring a fee to compile records, providing that certain challenges related to greenhouse gases cannot void actions unless required by federal agency or act of Congress, amending section, providing immediate effective date. Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Perry?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 557, that it recommend the same be concurred in.
Representative Perry.
In part, Senate Bill 557 is intended to address the Montana Supreme Court case of Park County Environmental Council versus DEQ and the very recent ruling of MEIC versus DEQ. Here's what the Senate Bill 557 does. It clarifies that in order to bring a MEPA challenge in court, the party must first have submitted comments on the environmental review, and the challenge is submitted to those issues. Much like when someone appeals a district court ruling to the Supreme Court, the party bringing the challenge shall pay the agency the cost of compiling the record and having it submitted to the court. It removes some ambiguous language in which a court could find flaws in the environmental review. It clarifies that lost wages and revenues should be used when calculating the written undertaking, taken, or bond required if a project is stopped by a court. It provides that if the challenging party is using NEPA to essentially invalidate or delay the corresponding state action, then the challenging party needs to seek an injunction. It also makes it clear that a challenge cannot result in vacating of a permit if the challenge is brought based upon alleged deficiencies in the evaluation of non-regulated greenhouse gases. I urge a green vote.
Is there any discussion? Representative Kohnhauer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and members of the body. This is not that easy of a bill for this body to pass, or it shouldn't be. Because what this bill does is basically ignore certain just specific environmental analyses on impacts to current uses of land. It chills the public's involvement. It eliminates opportunities to hold agencies accountable to their rules and regulations. And it creates a pay-to-play approach to engage in our judicial system. MEPA is really the only state law that requires agencies to analyze and disclose cumulative impacts of all projects and the impacts that they might have on fish, wildlife, cultural and historical resources, water, air, agriculture, and our economy. That's the part I want to really zone in on in my discussion with you today, is the agriculture and the economy part of this. When we heard this bill, it was sort of last minute, and we had more than 50 people show up to say, please not to support this bill. The people that came before our committee talked about the impact to their current living, their livelihoods, their family's health, the voice from that local area that needs to be heard. That's what MEPA is about. It is the participation of the public in discussions about impacts to their local economy and their local lives and livelihoods. That is where public notice is provided to all of the landowners surrounding any kind of a permit. It really is a place where local needs and local impacts can be discussed, and those impacts can be mitigated on behalf of the folks that live in those areas. Some of the non-environmental groups that have actually challenged and used MEPA to challenge the departments have been the tribes, property owner groups, citizen groups, water users, water and sewer associations that would be affected by decisions, ranches, county government, other local governments. These folks have basically come, driven in a snowstorm, to come and tell us how important it is for them to have the ability to participate in decisions made by agencies that can affect the economy, our agricultural folks, our ranches, our family farms, and the folks that live around these places where these decisions are being made. Those folks deserve to be heard. And I hope that you will protect the private property rights, the existing landowners, and their voice in any process. Mr. Chair.
Representative Windy Boy.
Thank you, Ms. Chairman. I speak on the bill. You know, members, in 2003, my first session here, there were two bills that I was a part of that I brought to this body. First one is I presented to you a couple weeks ago on government-to-government consultation and the guiding principles of it. And then the second bill I brought was the defunct Zortman Landusky mine on the south side of Fort Belknap. And at that time, we had in 2005, it was the second session I was here that we were finally able to get some money to come up with that in perpetuity. And it's on the state's taxpayer backs that had to fund that because of that defunction of that particular mine. And at that point in time, there was $17.5 million that this body had to come up with to do some of the mitigation of that of those companies that came and done all of that. And when I was doing my round of campaigning that time, there was a group of people that was trying to put a stop to this back in the 70s. And from that day forward, there's a lot of destruction that was going on. And when the company and some of the federal federales had come there and because of the pollution and the poisonous water that was coming downstream, there were kids that usually go swimming in those creeks there, and one of them jumped out of the water burning. Skin was burning. And there was so much sludge in that, in the bottoms of those, it almost, it probably would have matched this Berkeley pit over here. Not to say that it was bad or anything, but it's just a good comparison. But the thing is that it was up to this body that paid the taxpayers' dollar, and it's still being paid for. And I think that, and not only that. Why it's so important to oppose this is because the federal law that on my day job as my tribe's historic preservation officer, I have to abide by federal law 36 CFR Part 800 Section 106, which has to have the some of these organizations and departments having to consult with tribes, and I don't think that any of this probably violated too. House Bill 608 in the 2003 session, also that
Representative, if we could stick to this bill, please.
It does pertain to this bill, Mr. Chairman.
Representative.
And that's the thing, and that's the point about it, is that process has been negated on this because those who are being involved with this, who are being impacted in this, have not been consulted. That's the reason why I brought that up, Mr. Chairman. So I ask for a red vote on this. Thank you.
Representative France.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the body. I'll just speak to a couple of concerns I have about this bill. And the first is carving out things that we don't want agencies to consider in their environmental analysis. And I think that's poor policy on our part for a couple of reasons. First of all, our public has a right to know, and we should not be putting our thumb on proper and appropriate subjects for agencies to consider. More importantly, I think it's important for our body to have good information coming to it. And the way policy changes over time is through information, and we're denying ourselves some important information on clean air issues that might lead us in future, or our successors in future sessions, to change policy. And as to climate, we can look at other states around us. Yes, it's a global problem. Yes, perhaps it demands federal attention. But other states are acting based on their understanding of facts. And we're denying ourselves a good factual understanding by telling our agencies we don't want to know about certain subjects. But more importantly, I'm going to speak to the way that this bill, I think, infringes on Montana's constitutional rights. We have at Article 2, Section 8, Every individual, every citizen of Montana has a right to a clean and healthful environment. At Article 2, Section 8, we have a right to participate, including in court, and that right should not be constrained by the legislature. We have a right to know in Montana, and we have a right to the administration of justice. And what this bill does is constrain all of those rights. I'm not sure I will always look at, whenever I talk about the law, I look at the good representative from Billings. I'm not sure I know of other state statutes or other areas of state law where we really say to our public, you have to pay to go to court. We have a right to a clean and healthful environment. This bill essentially says that right exists more for the better off and not for the poorer Montanans, because it imposes bond requirements that really can keep people from going into court. Yes, they may be able to go raise money from a donor or a conservation group, but the shadow of having to turn over huge bond amounts, and we're adding to what that bond has to cover in this bill, is going to tell many, many people who may be harmed by state action, who may want to preserve our state, our precious environment for this and future generations, as the Constitution also speaks to, you can't go into court. So I think this bill, the way it's structured, the way it says, you have to go to court and you have to get an injunction immediately. That's telling people how to litigate. And I don't know of other areas of state law where we require parties to seek an injunction before they present facts to the case, before they brief the case, before witnesses are called and heard from. We're saying you have to do that in the first instance. You have to place a huge bond unless the court finds you can't afford it, but even then you may be discouraged from even going into court. So we are really suppressing that constitutional right to participate,
1 minute,
to have access to the courts, and to protect the environment. And I think this statute is fundamentally unconstitutional. Now, I know how this will work. We will pass the bill. It will go to court. The court may, or if the court says it's unconstitutional, then we'll come back and complain about how the Constitution, about how the courts treaded on our rights as a legislature. That's not what's happening here. We should be paying attention now to our constitutional duty to protect a clean and healthful environment and provide for our citizens to protect their own right, their individual and fundamental right. So I would really urge a red vote on this. Thank you.
Representative Deming.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Would the carrier yield to a question?
Does the carrier yield?
I believe I do.
Okay. Great. So on page 5 of the bill, good carrier, line 19, a challenge may only be brought by a person who submits formal comments prior to the agency's final decision. So once the DEQ makes a decision, that's over for anyone that wants to object. Is that my reading of the bill?
That is my understanding.
Thank you. Speak to the bill.
Representative.
So I've got some concerns with this bill, and that's just one of them. I wanted that question answered. But I will say that of all the people in this body, this bill will affect my people the most. The entirety of this project is in my district. I spent quite a bit of time on the phone with a man who lives right next to the place. And when I say right next to it, he's on the fence. Many of my friends and neighbors live across the river from this project. And so I have deep concern about this project in general. However, I support the project. Where we are today in this world, unfortunately, is that we are heavily reliant on energy sources that can't be relied on. And so a company stepped in and provided a energy source that can spin up in 8 minutes when the sun isn't shining and the wind stops blowing. You know, that's amazing technology. And I am generally in favor of those projects, including this one. I think it's the siting was unfortunate, to be honest with you. So I have very deep concerns about this project and the effect on my neighbors. So to be honest with you, I'm standing here. I don't have any idea how to vote. I do want to protect those people, but I also want to protect the access to reliable power. So what do we do here? At this point, I have to say, if I was to punch this button here in about 5 minutes or 2 minutes, whatever you're going to give me, I may have to vote against this, even though I'm generally in favor of this, because of the direct impacts on those people in my district. So I just want everybody to know that I've been thinking about this for a long time, and I may not be able to support this bill because of the negative effects on my constituents. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Mercer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I first want to disclose the fact that our firm represents parties in challenges brought pursuant to this provision of Title 75, including matters that are pending and where the parties could be affected by the expansion of the authority set forth here. But I do want to talk about a couple of the provisions in the bill, because I think it's relevant to everyone's consideration. So if you start on page, first of all, this is part of the Montana Environmental Policy Act in Title 75. And what you're going to see here, starting in the provisions I'm going to talk about, is that we are not eliminating the Montana Environmental Policy Act. There are amendments being proposed in this bill to the Montana Environmental Policy Act. So starting on page 5. So there's something added on lines 19, 20, and 21, and it says, challenge may only be brought by a person who submits formal comments on the agency's environmental review prior to the agency's final decision. And that means that as part of that comment on an environmental assessment or an environmental impact statement or the applicant's application that's pending with DEQ, the party can say, I object to this project for the following reasons, or the environmental assessment is inadequate for the following reason. But if a person doesn't make that submission as part of the notice and comment period, the next part of this says the challenge must be limited to those issues addressed in those comments. In other words, we have a process here in which the idea is you would want the agency to have the benefit of public comment before it renders its ultimate decision. And it's undercuts and undermines the process to say, well, let's not require people to say up front what the problems are with the project. Let's let them raise those in the litigation. That's backwards. And so that's one of the things that this bill would try to do. I also want to focus your attention on something that my friend from Missoula said in his comments, which is on page 8 of the bill. And one of the things you get when you get back to that part of the bill is the idea that it would require a party to seek to actually enjoin the project. And I think I don't know exactly what the sponsor had in mind here, but I think the idea is to say, we've talked about injunction law a lot in the course of this legislative session. One of the things we said is, you've got, when the agency actually issues the permit, then the applicant can move forward. And the idea behind what we've done with respect to injunction law is say, well, you shouldn't be able to stop a project unless you can make a demonstration that irreparable harm will occur and that there is a likelihood of success on the merits based upon the arguments that you've set forth in the complaint that you have filed with the litigation. This is saying if a party wants to attempt to litigate the project, it would need to make that demonstration at the outset of the case. And I don't see the problems with that my friend from Missoula has raised. So I'm happy to answer any questions that folks may have, but I wanted to share those two thoughts on the bill. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Gunderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The good representative in seat 9 forgot to mention the testimony of one Montana citizen, one of those folks that drove those many miles through the snow. Was the past representative from Butte, who last session in seat 10. He may be shorter statured, but he stands very, very tall when he speaks. He gave very passionate, very informative testimony in the House Natural Resource Committee hearing on 557. And you know what he said? It's Groundhog Day. He had been at the same juncture we're at right now in 2011. He highly suggested that we follow in that same path that he did then and stand up once again and do basically what we're doing with SB 557. This isn't a partisan issue. It's broadly bipartisan. This is a broadly impacting problem covering all of Montana and must be addressed. We cannot make this a finely pointed impact to one area. The court's invalidated amendments made to the Montana Environmental Policy Act, or MEPA, in 2011 that were intended to confirm that MEPA was in fact a procedural act and not substantive. The title itself says policy, not protection. The recent ruling invalidated an air quality permit, not based on compliance with the Air Quality Act, but because the court determined the review of greenhouse gas emissions was inadequate, even though those emissions are not a regulated substance. So SB 557 provides that if the challenging party is using MEPA to essentially invalidate or delay the corresponding state action, then the challenging party needs to seek an injunction. If they are not seeking the vacating or voiding of a permit, then the injunction requirement doesn't apply. To get the injunction, they need to show, one, likelihood of success, two, violation of an established law or regulation for the accompanying state action, and unless they can demonstrate they can't pay, post a bond. This is intended to move the litigation along quicker, make sure challenges that try to vacate permits must use the injunction process instead of merely getting the permit vacated though it was issued in compliance with the substantive regulatory process. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative T. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Speak the bill.
Representative.
I would just like to reach out to my good friend from Laurel, who's on the fence about how to vote on this. I would highly encourage you to vote green. You know, the logging industry has been shut down in the Northwest completely. We're waiting on a 20-year permit to get a mine going, and people should have stood up back then and fought back against these lobbyists and these lawyers that want to sue and put everybody out of business. Some people in this body, we all wish we lived in mud huts and only had electricity when the sun was out and the wind was blowing. I'd also like to say thanks to my good colleague from Billings for disclosing that he's an attorney that deals with these cases. I wish everybody in this body would be that forthright about their personal self-serving interests. Thank you.
Representative Marler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to encourage folks to vote no with me on this bill. And one of the reasons, with due respect to my friend in seat 1, here at the end of the session, everything, all the hearings are kind of blurring together, but our former colleague from Butte came down in a snowstorm to speak to us in support of House Bill 971, which we passed earlier today. So if people are worried about protecting the company, whose name I can't say, that's building something in Laurel, we already took care of them because we passed House Bill 971, which addressed their concerns. So you can vote no on this bill in good conscience, because this issue's been addressed. This goes way too far, and I hope you'll join me in voting no.
Seeing no further discussion, does the carrier wish to close?
I do. The bill is dealing with not just this one incident. It's dealing with anything that's going to come in front of us that they expect us to use greenhouse gas emissions, which have not been identified by the federal government, by the EPA, as hazardous. Hasn't happened. And so they're trying to stop any kind of industry from happening in this state based on greenhouse gases. It doesn't say that individuals can't bring an injunction. It doesn't say that individuals can't testify. They all can. It's trying to protect the companies as well and anybody who's trying to do a project from people coming in and not having any skin in the game. As a state, as a nation, as a world, our requirements for electricity and resources is growing exponentially year after year. And yet, we are the only country in the world that is shooting ourselves in the foot or feet and weakening our position strategically and placing ourselves at the mercy of other countries by inhibiting our infrastructure development and our resource and energy development. China built 87 power plants in the last year. 87. And we're expected to get rid of ours. Russia just as soon see us do this too, because then they get the coal over there for them. India is building coal-fired power plants as quick as they can get them out. And yet we're the ones that are supposed to be the big brother and show that we're the ones that are doing things right. When's the rest of the world going to show us that they're ready to do things right? We must realize that we are no longer everyone's big brother and hope others will follow suit. We must not continue to hamstring ourselves and jeopardize the futures of our children and grandchildren by eliminating all of our future options. Please vote green.
The question now rises on the motion of Representative Perry that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 557, I recommend the same be incurred in. All those in favor vote aye. All those opposed vote no. Are there any absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representative C. Knutson votes aye. Representative Seekenscroll votes aye.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 64 representatives have voted aye, 35 have voted no.
Senate Bill 557 has been concurred in on second reading. Members of the committee, you have before you for your consideration Senate amendments to House Bill 576. What is your pleasure, Representative Knutson?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration the Senate amendments to House Bill 576, that it recommend that the same be not concurred in. Mr. Chair.
Representative Knutson.
Folks, this bill passed out of this chamber pretty handily way back in early March. I think it was March 1 or March 3. It's been a while since we heard from the other side with regards to this bill. During that time, this bill went to, of course, committee, and there were some amendments put on that bill. It has since passed out of their chamber and came back over here. With a little bit of review at the Senate amendments, I think they helped a little bit, but they didn't quite get there all the way. So I would like this to be a do not concur, and we can send this bill back to a conference committee and fix the amendments and have a really great bill. Mr. Chair.
Is there any discussion? Seeing no discussion, does the sponsor wish to close? Sponsor has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Representative Knutson that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate amendments to House Bill 576, I recommend the same not be concurred in. All those in favor vote aye. All those opposed vote no. Are there any absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representative C. Knutson votes aye. Representative Seekenscroll votes aye.
Has every member voted? Representative Fitzgerald? Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 70 representatives have voted aye, 29 have voted no.
Senate amendments to House Bill 576 have not been concurred in. The chair recognizes Majority Leader Benton.
Mr. Chairman, I move the committee rise and report.
You have heard the motion of Majority Leader Benton. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed say no. The ayes have it.
Mr. Speaker, we are Committee of the Whole, having had under consideration business on second reading, recommend as follows.
Mr. Speaker, I move adoption of the committee report.
I've heard the motion to adopt the committee report. All those in favor vote aye, and those opposed vote no. Clerk, record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 81 representatives have voted aye, 15 have voted no.
Committee report has been adopted. Thank you, Representative Lear. Order business number 8, third reading of bills.
Mr. Speaker, Senate Bill 3, introduced by Cuff, a bill for an act entitled to revise forest land taxation laws.
Senate Bill 3 have been read three several times. The question is, should the bill be passed by the House? All those in favor vote aye, and those opposed vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 96 representatives have voted aye, one has voted no.
Senate Bill 3 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, Senate Bill 253, introduced by Hertz, a bill for an act entitled Revised Contractors' Gross Receipts Tax.
Senate Bill 253 have been read three several times. The question is, should the bill be passed by the House? All those in favor vote aye, and those opposed vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 95 representatives have voted aye, one has voted no.
Senate Bill 253 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, Senate Bill 303, introduced by Hertz, a bill for an act entitled Revised Withholding Penalties for Certain Taxes.
Senate Bill 303 have been read three several times. The question is, should the bill be passed by the House? All those in favor vote aye, and those opposed vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 95 representatives have voted aye, one has voted no.
Senate Bill 303 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, Senate Bill 458, introduced by Glim, a bill for an act entitled Define Sex in Montana Law.
Senate Bill 458 have been read three several times. The question is, should the bill be passed by the House? All those in favor vote aye, and those opposed vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 60 representatives have voted aye, 36 have voted no.
Senate Bill 458 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, House Bill 19, introduced by Running Wolf, a bill for an act entitled Revising Laws Related to Indian Affairs and Economic Development.
House Bill 19 have been read three several times. The question is, should the bill be passed by the House? All those in favor vote aye, and those opposed vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 96 representatives have voted aye, zero have voted no.
House Bill 19 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, House Bill 140, introduced by Jones, a bill for an act entitled Establishing Modernization and Risk Analysis Committee.
House Bill 140 have been read three several times. The question is, should the bill be passed by the House? All those in favor vote aye, and those opposed vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 93 representatives have voted aye, three have voted no.
House Bill 140 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, House Bill 147, introduced by Gillette, a bill for an act entitled Enhanced Medicaid Rates for Certain Children's Mental Health Services.
House Bill 147 have been read three several times. The question is, should the bill be passed by the House? All those in favor vote aye, and those opposed vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 96 representatives have voted aye, zero have voted no.
House Bill 147 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, House Bill 214, introduced by Bertolio, a bill for an act entitled Revised Education Laws Related to Remote Instruction.
House Bill 214 have been read three several times. The question is, should the bill be passed by the House? All those in favor vote aye, and those opposed vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 92 representatives have voted aye, four have voted no.
House Bill 214 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, House Bill 270, introduced by Kazmaier, a bill for an act entitled Extend Sunset on Natural Resource Operation Funding.
House Bill 270 have been read three several times. The question is, should the bill be passed by the House? All those in favor vote aye, and those opposed vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 96 representatives have voted aye, zero have voted no.
House Bill 270 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, House Bill 287, introduced by Windy Boy, a bill for an act entitled Revised Laws Related to Indian Language Preservation.
House Bill 287, I've been read three several times. The question is, shall the bill be passed by the House? All those in favor vote aye, and those opposed vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 85 representatives have voted aye, 10 have voted no.
House Bill 287 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, House Bill 679, introduced by Logie, a bill for an act entitled Require Certain Vehicles to Carry Traction Control Devices.
House Bill 679 have been read three several times. The question is, should the bill be passed by the House? All those in favor vote aye, and those opposed vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 97 representatives have voted aye, 0 have voted no.
House Bill 679 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, H.J. 15, introduced by Fern, a bill for an act entitled Resolution Requesting Interim Study on Shared Use Paths.
H.J. 15 have been read three several times. The question is, should the bill be passed by the House? All those in favor vote aye, and those opposed vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 77 representatives have voted aye, 20 have voted no.
H.J. 15 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, H.J. 16, introduced by Kearns, a bill for an act entitled Interim Study on Traffic Incidents Involving Bicycles and Motor Vehicles.
H.J. 16 have been read three several times. The question is, should the bill be passed by the House? All those in favor vote aye, and those opposed vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 34 representatives have voted aye, 62 have voted no.
H.J. 16 has failed to pass the House.
That is all, Mr. Speaker.
Order business number 9, motions. Majority Leader Vinton.
Mr. Speaker, I move to re-refer Senate Bill 530, Generally Revised Taxation of New, Expanded, or Improved Industrial Property to the Appropriations Committee. Mr. Speaker.
Without objection, so ordered.
Mr. Speaker, I move to re-refer Senate Bill 550, Generally Revised Income Tax Laws and Clarify Income Tax Reform Provisions to the Appropriations Committee. Mr. Speaker.
Without objection, so ordered.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the Speaker be authorized to appoint a conference committee to meet with a like committee from the Senate to confer on Senate amendments to House Bill 317 by Representative Windy Boy. The bill was in House Human Services Committee, and the bill title is Provide for the Montana Indian Child Welfare Act.
Without objection, so ordered. I appoint the following members, Representative Etchart, Representative Oblander, and Representative Windy Boy.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the Speaker be authorized to appoint a conference committee to meet with a like committee from the Senate to confer on Senate amendments to House Bill 338 by Representative Windy Boy. The bill was in House Education Services Committee. The bill title is Revised Laws Related to Indian Education for All.
Without objection, so ordered. I appoint the following members, Representative Windy Boy, Representative Rexton, and Representative Essman.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the Speaker be authorized to appoint a free conference committee to meet with a like committee from the Senate to confer on Senate amendments to House Bill 576 by Representative R. Knudsen. The bill was in House Natural Resources Committee. The bill title is Revised Laws Related to Water and Coal Mining.
Without objection, so ordered. I appoint the following members, Representative Rhonda Knudsen, Representative Perry, and Representative Marler.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the Speaker accede to the request of the Senate and be authorized to appoint a conference committee to meet with a like committee from the Senate to confer on House amendments to Senate Bill 19 by Senator Regeer. Senate Bill 19 was in House Judiciary Committee. The bill title is Generally Revised Disorderly Conduct Sentencing Laws.
Without objection, so ordered. Appoint the following members, Representative Bishop, Representative Lear, and Representative Amy Regeer.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the Speaker accede to the request of the Senate and be authorized to appoint a conference committee to meet with a like committee from the Senate to confer on House amendments to Senate Bill 116 by Senator Lenz. Senate Bill 116 was in House Human Services Committee. The bill title is Revised Confidentiality Provisions Related to Child Protective Services Cases.
Without objection, so ordered. I appoint the following members, Representative Carlson, Representative Nickel, and Representative Howell. Representative Gunderson.
Mr. Speaker, House Bill 808 was transmitted from the Senate to the House one day after the deadline for amended general bills. The short title is Revised Surety Insurance Laws Related to Bail Bonds. As per Joint Rule 4200, I move the House suspend the rules to receive House Bill 808 into our chamber for consideration. Mr. Speaker.
Okay, the motion is to suspend the rules. This takes two-thirds present and voting for House Bill 808. All those in favor vote aye. Those opposed, vote no. Clerk, record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 64 representatives have voted aye, 33 have voted no.
Motion has failed. Representative Hopkins.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that we take Senate Bill 335 from the House Local Government Committee, placing it on the House floor for second reading on Monday, the 80th legislative day, Mr. Speaker.
Do you have the short title of the bill, Representative?
Mr. Speaker, I wrote down a cheat note for myself. I do not have the full title in front of me. Microphone still being on, Mr. Speaker. Short title is Allowing Fraternity or Sorority Houses Near College and University Campuses.
Thank you, Representative. So this is the last motion. 55 members present and voting. Two proponents, two opponents. Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. A lot of good conversation during this legislative session around zoning and around housing problems in the state of Montana. We've gotten an incredible amount of good work done, considering that students make up 40,000 individuals within the population of Montana. I think that that needs to be part of this conversation, too, here on the House floor, and I think it deserves a discussion on its own right. And I'd ask for a green board, Mr. Speaker.
Members, I dropped anybody else in the queue. If you want to speak to this motion, please punch in. Representative Konauer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to speak against this. This bill had a good hearing in our committee. We considered all of the options surrounding it. There are some issues with whether or not there is safeguards around people who might be renting property to frat houses or sorority houses. I would encourage this body to say no to this, to bringing this bill off the table, Mr. Chair.
Those in favor of moving House Bill 335 to second reading, vote aye. Those opposed, vote no. Clerk, record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 37 representatives have voted aye, 60 have voted no.
Motion has failed. Any further motions? Representative Hopkins.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that the House take Senate Bill 523 from the House Taxation Committee and place it here in the House of Representatives on second reading on Monday, the 80th legislative day. Mr. Speaker. And Mr. Speaker, if you are looking for a short title, it is Generally Revised Tax Increment Financing Laws.
Okay. Representative, you want to open on your motion? Just keep it to the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Having heard the short title, again, there's a whole lot going on in the state of Montana with taxes. 80 people came here to the House of Representatives to testify on this bill. It's good legislation. Think it really deserves a discussion here on the House floor. Would ask for 55, Mr. Speaker.
Members, I drop the cue again. If you'd like to speak to this motion, please punch back in. Representative Konauer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And we actually took action on this bill this morning. And it is a bill that talks about TIF. And that bill is going to get blasted to this committee without the amendments that were discussed in our committee. The amendment made it slightly better, but it is bad for small communities. And we had a lot of people come in and talk to us about why this particular bill would be harmful to the economic development and the way TIFs are working.
Just keep it to the motion.
Yep, Mr. Chair. The way TIFs work in these communities. I would encourage this body to vote no on this because it was satisfactorily discussed within our committee, and it is not a good bill as we move forward. I encourage people to work on that during the interim and bring a good bill to us.
Representative Falk.
Mr. Speaker, I think it's time we address high property taxes in the state of Montana. This bill does that. Let's get a good debate on the floor. Thank you.
Representative Thane.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As was referenced, we had a great hearing in taxation. We had 82 witnesses. The committee voted this morning, and the vote was 7-14. I would recommend that we honor the results of the committee vote and defeat this motion, Mr. Speaker.
That was two opponents and two opponents. All those in favor of bringing Senate Bill 523 to second reading, vote aye. Those opposed, vote no. Clerk, record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 39 representatives have voted aye, 58 have voted no.
Motion has failed. Are there further motions? Representative Lear.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that we reconsider our actions on Senate Bill 529, a bill that we heard yesterday, a bill to provide property tax exemption for wireless infrastructure, and place it on second reading on Monday.
Okay, two proponents, two opponents. Representative. I'm going to drop the cue again. Punch back in if you'd like to speak. This is Representative Brewster.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We heard testimony, and some of it was a little conflicting with earlier bills. In last session, I voted for Senate Bill 51, which was sort of a precursor to this one. I actually think this is a pretty good bill, and it'll help some of that investment in rural internet move forward, Mr. Speaker.
Speaker Pro Tem Knutson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Folks, please reconsider this bill, 529. This is similar, as the representative to my left said, similar to the bill that passed earlier in an earlier session. This just brings a little bit more of the technology world to eastern Montana. And let's keep eastern Montana and rural Montana in the headlights, and let's help them all we can. Vote yes on this, please.
Representative Fitzpatrick.
Mr. Chairman, members of the body, I urge you to resist this motion and stay with the vote we had yesterday. This bill is essentially just another tax giveaway, which is very difficult on local governments. I encourage a no vote. Thank you.
Okay, members, this is a reconsider motion, which is majority present in voting. All those in favor, vote aye. Those opposed, vote no. Clerk, record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 58 representatives have voted aye, 38 have voted no.
Motion has passed. Any further motions? Representative Cordham.
Mr. Speaker, I move sine die.
Okay. Motion is in order. Motion for sine die. All those in favor of sine die, vote aye. Those opposed, vote no. Clerk, record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 8 representatives have voted aye, 85 have voted no.
Motion has failed. Any further motions? Seeing none, order business number 10, unfinished business.
None, Mr. Speaker.
Order business number 11, special orders of the day.
None, Mr. Speaker.
Order business number 12, announcement of committee meetings. Representative Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We have two bills to hear and executive action. As soon as I can get a quorum off the floor, which means we have to go to 101 or 102 and actually come there in time to get a quorum.
Representative Regeer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Judiciary, Monday morning, 9 a.m.
Representative Logie.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Transportation is on idle.
Representative Brewster.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Local government as soon as we have a quorum.
Representative Carlson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Human Services will meet today. We have three bills, three EA. We will meet at 3:20.
Representative Gunderson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Natural Resources has two bills to hear. We'll hear them Monday at 9 a.m. Thank you.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Education, Monday, 3 o'clock, or after the session, room 137.
Speaker Pro Tem Knudsen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I request to be off the record and out of the journal for a purpose of an announcement.
So ordered.
Ladies and gentlemen, here it is, the same announcement, same announcement, different day. Support the Big Brothers and Big Sisters and the Jack Roscoe Transportation Fundraiser. Out in the foyer, in the ante room, you'll see a big display of a lot of prize baskets that have been put together by lobbyists and staff people, and they would like to have a very, very healthy fundraiser with this. The goal is to raise $15,000. Currently, they're at $8,700. I'm asking you all to dig a little bit deeper in your pocket, buy another ticket. Ticket sales will be pushed out a little bit further. They're going to go through next week, and then they'll have the drawings next week. Think of the children, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Windy Boy, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise to a point of personal privilege.
State your point.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have a question on 20-20, Part 5, Sub A, and the rule states parliamentary inquiry means a request for information regarding some procedure concerning some questions before the House. And I know people are probably tired of listening to me over the last being here for 11 sessions in the legislature over a span of 21 years. But in the last two days, it kind of befuddles me about not having a clear definition about what you as the speaker had mentioned, standing in protection of what your response was of the definition of the integrity and dignity of the House. And I'm inquiring just for my own personal, so I can understand what that definition is of what the integrity and dignity of the House is, Mr. Speaker.
Representative and members of the committee, as has been stated before, this House will move forward with dignity and integrity, which means there will be no belittling of people's vote or belittling of people's motives. We will keep it to the issues at hand. And if you cannot follow that, you will not be recognized.
So, Mr. Speaker, I'm still not clear with that, with the response there. Can you be more clear to me, Mr. Speaker?
Representative and members, this has come up multiple times this session already. People have been out of decorum on both sides of the aisle. We have addressed that, we have fixed that, and we have moved forward with an understanding that we will be within decorum. In chapter 2 of our rule book is titled Decorum, the whole thing. And that leaves it up to the speaker to determine in each instance those rules.
Thank you for that, Mr. Speaker. And I guess just still hasn't answered me, but thank you for trying.
Representative Phelan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representative Joe Reed went under the knife here probably about 12:25 or so, and I just want to encourage you to lift him up in your prayers. He's getting a hip replacement. So,
Majority Leader Vinton.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the House adjourn and reconvene Monday, the 80th legislative day at 1 p.m.
All those in favor say aye. All those opposed, no, and the ayes have it. And the House will reconvene at 1 p.m. on Monday, April 24th. The House is adjourned.